Sales Enablement Society, Stories from the Trenches, where enablement practitioners share their real-world experiences. Get the scoop on what's happening inside sales enablement teams across the global SES member community. Each segment of Stories from the Trenches share the good, the bad, and the ugly practices of corporate sales enablement initiatives. Learn what worked, what didn't work, and how obstacles were eliminated by corporate teams and leadership. Sit back, grab a cold one, and join host Paul Butterfield, Vice President of Sales Enablement at Instructure, for casual conversations about the wide and varied profession of sales enablement, where there is never a one-size-fits-all solution.
Welcome to another episode of Stories from the Trenches, the Sales Enablement Society podcast, where people that do what we do get together and figure out how to do it better and learn from one another. I'm excited to introduce you to the guest for this episode. He's someone I've known for a very long time, have a lot of respect for. So welcome, Chris Sargent from Nice in Contact. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. Thanks for having me on today.
Why not let our audience know a little bit about you, a little bit about what Nice in Contact does? They may not be familiar with the company.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So my name is Chris Sargent. For those of you, probably most of you who don't know me, I work for currently for a company called Nice in Contact. And Nice in Contact is a provider of software as a service, customer experience solutions, really focused on contact center from the front end to the back end that help customers realize and hit on all of their customer experience expectations in today's vastly changing and ever-moving customer experience economy that we're in. But a little background about myself. I was in sales and sales leadership for about 8 or 9 years prior to coming into the sales enablement world, which was a really nice blend of experience that I had in sales, but also my desire when I went to school to be a history teacher. And this was a really nice opportunity for me to take some of those opportunities of experience in sales and move them towards the world of enablement. And it was such a new world for me at the time, but such a great opportunity for me to have the experience of getting in front of people and process and helping organizations really get better at the art of revenue and getting better at producing revenue.
And you've done well for yourself. You are currently the Senior Director of Global Sales Enablement for Nice in Contact. Am I right?
That's correct. Correct. Yeah, I've been in this role over several parts over the last years and just recently took over as Senior Director about 6 months ago.
All right. So that's work, Chris. Let's have a little bit of fun. Let people get to know you maybe through a different lens. You get to travel. Well, back when we were all traveling, I know that you were traveling a lot and pretty global role that you're in. So I'd love to hear, what is the best meal number one that you've ever had? And I'd love to hear, you know, the city, the restaurant, what you had and why.
Fantastic. I'm going to cheat and I'm going to respond with two. fantastic restaurant in London. In fact, it's a chain of restaurants in London called The Shoom. It's an Indian restaurant. If you're ever there, they have a chicken ruby dish, which is this incredible, incredible tandoori chicken in a makhani sauce. One of the best things I've ever had. Every person that recommended it to me and that I've recommended it to has claimed it as one of the best meals they've ever had. I would say probably the other best one that comes in very, very close. If you're ever in Sydney, Australia, there's a fantastic, fantastic Chinese restaurant called Mr. Wong's. Some of the best shrimp toast I've ever had in my life. Highly recommend it if you're ever there.
Well, COVID willing, I will be back in London in the first week of September and Sydney towards the end of October. So I haven't tried either one of those places, so I look forward to it. I'll let you know how it is. When we were prepping for this, we talked a lot about the need for sales organizations to be aligned globally to a single sales methodology and process. There's a lot of things that go into a methodology, and we both agreed that is important. And so I'd love for you to share maybe a couple of the thoughts that you shared with me on why in your experience that is such a difference maker, and how have you till now been, because you've had a lot of success in implementing, I know this, and so maybe talk to us a little bit about how you have found the best practices you've found that have helped you have good implementation success, and then we'll figure out what the future looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the things, when you look at sales process as a whole, right, or revenue process, whatever we want to call it, I think when you look at what it means and why a company does a sales process, if you're doing it to check a box, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But if you look at why you're doing it, right, there's a great Stephen Covey quote that says, begin with the end in mind. And what does a process mean to your organization? Because when you look at what a sales process touches, and especially if it's coming from a sales enablement or a revenue enablement organization, it shouldn't truly permeate the whole organization. It shouldn't simply be a process that only touches some of your frontline salespeople, but it really should be a process that really goes throughout the entire organization with how you go to market, how you engage with prospects, how you reach out to those prospects, and what kind of process you take them through. In fact, there's some really interesting statistics that in today's world, right, there truly is a economy of customer experience happening, meaning it's not even probably so much what we sell, but how we sell it. And let me kind of go into some detail around that, which is, ideally, and I've heard my CEO say this many times, if you don't have any competitors with the product that you have, you may want to take a step back and see what's my total addressable market, and is it big enough? Healthy competition is a great thing because it usually means you have an addressable market. Well, Bain and Company have highlighted that 59% of consumers are picking brands simply based on the type of experience that they have, not even necessarily the product. So you start to see the power that a sales process can create when, if that's truly the case, 6 out of 10 Americans or globally are picking brands based off the type of experience they have. That doesn't fall far from what our sales process could be and what it can actually do in differentiating and going to market and allowing a buyer to actually get value out of what we bring versus a feature functionality commoditized type of sales process. So
differentiating by how the salespeople are selling rather than relying on product.
Absolutely. And it can truly be, my experience has been, it can truly be one of the biggest competitive advantage you can take to market is arming your sales force with a process that focuses on what the customer wants to do versus a historic, maybe feature pricing type conversation that, we've all been guilty of at some point as salespeople in our careers.
That's a great point. Yet there's you can scroll through your LinkedIn feed and there's yeah, still so much feature benefit and demo, right? You focus on demos and things
correct,
like that, which if I'm hearing you correctly, it's not that the demo is not important, but it should be coming much later in the process once you've had time to the understanding, right? Back to your Covey quote too, is understanding what the end result is that your prospect's looking for and that sort of thing. Correct. So great insights. So how have you typically been rolling out the methodology that your company uses?
Yeah, it's another great point. And one of the things is I would say absolutely, this is probably a little cliche, but at any organization I would look at from what I would call a top-down approach, meaning that when you look at how, a lot of organizations work in general, there's usually some strategic levels at top that then, you have your soldiers beneath you who are going and executing on that. That's how most go-to-markets work. That's how most companies do marketing. That's how most companies do a lot of things. And, to me, it's completely insane to think that my sales process starts with my frontline sales reps. They are the execution branch of what I need them to do. But I also need buy-in, as I mentioned earlier, this has to be something that permeates the organization from the top down. And a lot of success that I've seen as I've worked with organizations of rolling out sales process is prior to ever taking this and giving, expectations and marching orders and rolling anything out at a sales rep level, we really try to work really hard with multiple leaders across multiple segments within an organization. For example, marketing is can be one of the best friends and should be one of the best friends of salespeople. I want them involved. I want them to understand how we expect our salespeople to sell, because that's ultimately, you know, we all need to be rowing the boat in the same direction. And I'm not saying that, you know, we're dictating to marketing how they go to market, but if they have an understanding of the type of process we're going to engage in, it can definitely help create a layer of harmony between how they go to market and how our reps then take in a lot of those, you know, MQLs and things like that, that provide a lot of great resource and a lot of great prospects to us. Same on the product side of the house. One of the areas I think is kind of a hidden gem when you're rolling out a sales process is work very, very closely with your product and your product marketing teams. Product teams are creating those features for a reason. Are they interviewing customers? If they're interviewing customers, and that's why they're deciding what features they're going to roll out as part of, you know, new product releases, there's a lot of great insights that we can garner from working with those product people. So when I look at it from that perspective, my first thing I would do when I look at a sales process is, who do I want to engage? Who, from a perspective of across segments of the company, would ultimately help and benefit our salespeople from having that level of engagement? And then once I have laid those foundational pieces, it makes it a lot easier, because think about now, as those salespeople are going off to, you know, the battle of sales, now they have a potential marketing organization that understands and has bought in how we're going to be going to market directly to our customers. I now have a product team that is going to help understand that when we create these features, you know, you mentioned something that's important, Paul, is we've kind of trained buyers and prospects to think that they should be getting a demo and pricing on a first or second or third interaction. And a lot of the time, that's because when you look at historical product launches and things like that, it's feature this, feature that, here's the new feature, here's the great things that it does. You know, it's all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, we have the best X in the industry. Even CNET says so. Correct. Right, yeah.
Correct. And all of those things may be true. And I'm not saying they're not true. That being said, put yourselves in the shoes of your buyer. They're going to hear that same presentation from all 2, 3, 4, 5 vendors that they're going to interact with. And those probably aren't the only vendors that they're dealing with. There may be multiple projects that they're working on, and 2 or 3 days or 3 weeks after, it's all a big mesh of typical, you know, here's all the analyst firms things, and I don't remember who did what, I don't remember who did this.
Yeah,
but
magic
they will
squares.
Remember the type of exactly. Yeah. Quadrant squares,
yep.
Circle graphs, all of these great things, which are important, right? And you know, we're very grateful for those resources. But they shouldn't be used as a garnering of interest. They should be used as a level of inexpensive proof that what you're about to show them, the capabilities or whatever features you have, actually align to a business goal and help them solve a problem.
And there you go. It doesn't matter. None of it matters if it's not addressing a problem that they are trying to solve for. It's right. Maybe cool to look at, but nobody really has time for that, right? How do you get so I love how you're starting with that holistic approach. Now, at some point, you've got to get the sales reps that are on the front line talking that way to customers, right? We can create, you know, all this great alignment in the back office, but how do you get a methodology? How are you currently teaching? You've got a group of salespeople, you want them to start selling the ways that you've been describing. What have you been seeing success with in the past? And the reason I ask is I want to kind of set a baseline for now in a post-COVID world, you know, how are you adapting? And so maybe take everybody through just a minute. You know, how have you been implementing and rolling out your methodology up till now?
Yeah, so we'll kind of do a pre-COVID and a post-COVID.
Yeah, let's start with the pre-COVID.
Review on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pre-COVID was, you know, we focused a lot on an initial rollout involved actually in classroom learning. And I don't, it was more of a workshop. You know, those of us, if you've been to college and had group work and things like that, there was a lot of in-class instruction with hands-on learning that went on in the class that also kind of broke out into group work. And the whole purpose of it was a culmination of, rather than just theory and rather than just hearing, we wanted you to actually, you know, get inside, put the ingredients together, make the dough, and show us that the things that you were practicing and the things that were being taught, there was some level of practical knowledge that you were investing in and showing us that you did that. Now, that's only what I would call some baseline information. I think the second part of this is the sales process is, and a certification, you know, air quotes, is not a singular process. It is something that takes time. It is something that if we can effectively and efficiently roll out as part of this, the second phase of this that we usually focus on is we've created a 30-60-90 plan for all net new hires that go through this, which are focusing on certain components of the sales process and weekly one-on-ones with their managers. We really believe that the manager should own the feedback, but heavily supported by sales enablement, providing that manager feedback and giving that layer of coaching. We have seen a lot of success with that front. The other area that we've seen a lot of success is another group that I didn't mention earlier, but should be working in lockstep with, is revenue or sales operations. Because a lot of the operational components of adoption within an organization reside with my best friends in sales operations, who we are going to take a lot of the things and that we need a sales rep to be doing, and we need to make them practical within our sales stages, within the expectations. I mean, this affects our reselling partners. This affects our biz dev organization. This affects a lot of people just beyond the sales reps. And those two areas, which I would call initial certification mixed with ongoing education, supported by sales enablement and run by sales enablement with management feedback and coaching, mixed with operational success, are the layers where I've seen what I would call probably the most practical success happening when I can have all of those running.
Okay. So you've clearly worked very hard to create and then you know nurture and curate this ecosystem that sets people up, salespeople up for success. And with the methodology, and then there's mentoring, and there's all of that that you've talked about that goes on afterwards. So, COVID. Now we're in a situation where having folks come in for multi-day workshops just isn't going to happen. It's not safe. It's not practical. And we don't know when it will be again. So as you've worked through, and you told me that you've already had you're already doing some of this. How have you found success in translating that, you know, curated experience into online? Let's start with when you're teaching a class of folks that are new to the organization. They don't know your methodology at all. How are you doing that now?
Yeah, so it's a great point. And, you know, our CEO, is, as I'm sure many CEOs have said, you know, over the last several months is, you know, and I really appreciated this, was, right, a new challenge, you know, something like this. Really just presents a new opportunity for us to be creative and execute on things that we've been maybe even been a little comfortable doing for a long enough time. And now we have to kind of switch that on our head. And one thing that I mentioned earlier, you talked about, was we were very accustomed to having that first initial interaction being a very, you know, we're social creatures, we're social beings. It was a great opportunity on a lot of fronts. You know, I'm a big believer of a combination of, you know, in classroom as well as on demand scalable training. I think that's a great opportunity. But as you mentioned, yeah, we did it. We don't have the opportunity to do some of those. Now, you know, obviously with all of the hardships, you know, economically speaking, you know, we have been able to still hire and, you know, very thankful for that. But it's allowed us to sit down and take some time and prescribe and look at what would be the best thing or the best way for us to take something that was very in person and now continue to have some level of, you know, that social being, social creature by doing it completely via, you know, a Zoom or WebEx style of meeting. So one of the areas that we wanted to understand was, you know, just practical application. We all know what it's like to sit on very long, remote training. They're not the most effective. People start doing email. People start, you know, taking phone calls. They do a lot of different things. So one of the things we wanted to do was we wanted to combine some of the things that we were doing in class with on-demand scalable modules that were really broken down. And we prescribed a set of days and sessions we expected the reps to understand prior to joining. But then what we also did was we broke down some of the sections that we thought still needed to have at least a live touch versus a remote touch. And one of the really things that we focused on was we have to have the people stay engaged throughout the whole process. So one of the things we actually did was every 20 to 30 minutes, we have what we call quick knowledge checks. And what we do is we basically gamified something that we didn't really gamify before. We did this with a trial and a pilot group of some existing salespeople that we had, and we ran one session. The engagement level initially was a little slow, but once we started rolling out these, what we call knowledge checks every 20 to 30 minutes, and we gamified them, and there was, you know, at the end of every day, there was a prize, and, you know, part of that was really focusing on the education levels, and everyone had to participate, which is something that we wanted to make sure it wasn't, you know, the top three same people every day. Everyone participated, and we also engaged their managers so that their managers would have a better understanding of, you know, it's kind of twofold here. It helped them understand what were the questions that their people were getting right, what were the questions maybe that they were routinely not getting correct, and how they could coach their new rep to the level of helping them start to adhere to that. Now, the backside of this is coaching and continuing to execute on our 30-60-90 program, which was always been a remote session. So we did have a little bit of a head start there. It was never in person. But what we have found on that, though, is that it is so critical that sales enablement and revenue enablement support the frontline manager who's now, you know, we're all at home now. I'm sure we've all noticed that there used to be a nice little break between what you did in the office and potentially what you did at your home or your home office for those of you that physically went into an office. And those lines have been blurred, and it gets really easy to get caught up in things. And one of the best things we have found post COVID is the power that a revenue or sales enablement team can have in supporting the frontline managers with these things. You know, we've set up, you know, weekly one-on-ones with every one of our, both our commercial, our mid-market, and our enterprise reps. And we've broken that up between the team that I'm on just to focus on sales profit adherence. What can we do? And having those bi-weekly sessions.
So now you're really getting into the adoption, the adoption and reinforcement correct. Phase. So I didn't mean to cut you. I just want to make sure correct. That I understood. Okay. Has it been long enough, Chris, that you can get a sense of, is it a successful pivot or is it too early?
So a great question. I would still say there's some, you know, some of the early precincts are returning some of the votes. I think there's been some really, really good things. As I mentioned earlier, I think long term there will always be the need for at some level in-person coaching where it makes sense. And you know, long term, I do think we will return at some level to some in-classroom components of rolling out a sales process and methodology. But what I can say is on the back end, the coaching and the kind of continuing education and reinforcement of adoption, what we've seen is a level of engagement that we haven't seen prior. And what I mean by
that, so it's gone up.
We've seen a lot. Yeah,
it's increased.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Yes. And what I would say is I think now that we all have this focus that there's no more of this who's in the office, who's not in the office, but there's been a lot more time dedicated to actually just engaging with teams. And, you know, in a world where, you know, companies that existed 6 months ago no longer exist and deals that existed 3 to 6 months ago no longer exist, there's been a lot of time. As I mentioned, our CEO said, you know, sometimes challenges that are really hard also present opportunities. One of the big opportunities that we saw was the ability to re-engage our sales force and take the opportunity to pivot. My boss, who's our EVP of sales, a gentleman by the name of Bill Robinson, said something really interesting. He said, this is the first time in my career, most of the data points that I've been able to use over the last 20, 30 years that have been holding true and accurate are getting thrown out the window. And there's a lot of recalibrating that needs to happen. So there's definitely an opportunity right now. And I think revenue and sales enablement leaders and teams have a really great opportunity to work really closely with, you know, their peers in both sales and marketing to help kind of navigate those waters, but also be a voice in the room around what are the things, what are the metrics, what are the areas that they can improve on and take this opportunity to grow and coach right. versus, you know, necessarily retreat. So,
okay. Well, we are coming up on the end of our time. It has really flown by this time. And I always like to end with a chance for the guests each time to share some insights into what they've learned over their career. So it may have something to do with what you've been talking to with us about, Chris. or something totally different. But as you look back over your career, what is the biggest thing that you wish you'd known when you were starting out that you now understand?
Yeah, I think from that perspective, one thing that especially, and this is maybe something over the last 2.5 years, it's weird. You kind of subconsciously know this, but I think it would be wherever you are in your ableman career, if you do have this already or you're fighting for something like this, is do not be scared to be a voice in the room when it comes to decisions that sales leadership, marketing leadership, you need a seat at the table. And I think maybe a little earlier on in my career, I took a little more order taking and versus, you know, being a strategic voice. Because I think anyone who's in sales enablement, the effect you can have on your organization is probably bigger than all of us even realize. And when you can get to, when you can be a voice at that table, once again, not saying anyone has to be a CEO or the, you know, chief sales enablement officer or anything like that, but providing that value and getting buy-in from a leadership level really can fundamentally take sales enablement to a, you know, a nice to have type of thing. And this is the group that handles the new hires, and this is the group that handles, you know, training once a quarter or product rollouts.
Or the Department of Broken Things, which is even worse.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Exactly. As opposed to an extension of L&D that maybe has more experience in sales, you can actually become proactive part of the go-to-market strategy of your company. Right. And that would be something looking back. I wish I would have been a little more vocal and building that internal network at a leadership level to provide more value to the organization.
Great advice. Thanks, Chris. And thank you for spending time with us. If there are people who are listening that maybe something you're talking about, they're also trying to sort out or just resonates with them, what's the best way for people to connect with you?
LinkedIn is always going to be probably the best way just from a professional level. You can message me. Feel free to email me. I have my email on there as well. Happy to take a phone call too if you want to talk it out. I'm more than happy to spend time. And I learned from a lot of people. I've been blessed with a lot of, you know, great colleagues in sales enablement that have helped me along the way and allow me to pick their brain. So, you know, happy to be engaged on LinkedIn. That's probably going to be the best way.
All right. Thanks again. We've just been speaking with Chris Sargent, the Senior Director of Global Sales Enablement for NICE inContact. We've been talking about the importance of sales methodology, but also how do we then teach and enforce and measure adoption of that methodology in the post-COVID environment we find ourselves in. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll tune in next time for another episode of Stories for the Trenches. In the meantime, stay safe.
Thanks for joining this episode of Stories from the Trenches. For more sales enablement resources, be sure to join the Sales Enablement Society at www.sesociety.org. That's www.sesociety.org.